Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you go ice skating?
Yeah, well, I haven't been ice skating yet.
Don't break a leg and don't break an arm.
It's a beautiful roller rink now,
okay,
which is super fun.
Okay, you can break a leg, but you can't break an arm. Chef Riyad Nasser and Lee Hansen are the masterminds behind one of New York City's newest and most beautiful restaurants, Le Roc. Le Roc, which is located in Rockefeller Center, has a well-curated French menu and stunning design. The pair is also known for their James Beard Foundation winning restaurant, Frenchette, and their bakery, Frenchette Bakery. Both Riyad and Lee are veterans of Balthazar and have carved out a successful path for themselves. Welcome to my podcast, Riyad and Lee. I am very happy to be here sitting. We are sitting in the most peculiar spot. It's a little newsstand recording studio on the first floor of One Rockefeller Plaza. And this is, well, One East 49th Street, I guess. But have you ever been in here before?
Have not. We've passed it a few times.
Yeah, so it's very cute. It has windows right onto a promenade that goes from 49th Street to 48th Street. And the restaurant is really at 50th Street.
Yes, on 50th Street, yeah.
And last night was my first time at Le Roc. When did you open exactly?
First week of August.
I tried to come earlier, and I just, you were closed one night that I was free, and then I wasn't able to get in. But boy, am I glad I ate there last night, because now I have a lot to ask, even more questions than I had before. Mm-hmm. You guys have been really, really busy. I first met you many years ago at Balthazar, when you were both the chefs working with Keith McNally. Yeah. In one of the most innovative restaurants of the time, Balthazar, which still is going strong. I've been there a few times during and since COVID, but I miss you guys so much. And then, of course, you went on to Minetta Tavern. Did you leave Balthazar to go to Minetta, or did you just redesign?
No, we did that. We did that with Keith, and it was, I think, the last project that we worked together on.
That was right?
And
then you parted ways and took your great talents and opened Frenchette. So describe Frenchette to everyone, because I want to talk a lot about Le Roc, but Frenchette is also such a delightful place to go and a first choice on many, many people's itineraries who come from out of town. Mm-hmm. So tell us what Frenchette and where you got that idea from.
When Lee and I, we were always, cooks, you know, we wanted to forge our path. You know, we were looking for a sort of a small location where the two of us could basically just sort of cook. Well, you know, every young chef's dream.
Of course, and you had been cooking how many dinners at Balthazar?
Thousands.
Thousands. Thousands, every day, right?
Thousands, yeah, thousands.
With the bakery, the fantastic food at Balthazar. Yeah. It was fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so then you go.
We left and to sort of pursue that dream, and we found this location that, you know, we had.
Well, how many seats are at Frenchette? It's pretty big.
It's 80 seats, maybe 100 seats with a bar area and stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty big. That's not a little tiny place. And it was taken very seriously.
Half the size of what we're sort of used to,
right?
You know, prior to that. But we just wanted to do sort of a simple neighborhood French bistro, very, very market driven, sort of inspired by, you know, our travels in France and, you know, our culinary upbringing, so to speak. You know, incorporate some ideas that we had.
How long did you know each other before you joined forces at Balthazar?
Well, we met back when we both worked for Daniel Boulud at Restaurant Daniel, and that was 1993 that opened. So Riet and I met there.
So you were both there at that time at the opening?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
At that fabulous place, the former home of Le Cirque?
No, this was in the Surrey Hotel. This was on 76th Street, became the restaurant. Cafe Boulud. You know,
okay.
I think that's where we first met you, Martha. You
that's
came
right.
into the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. That is right. Okay, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And Danielle is my neighbor now. He lives right across the street from me in Bedford.
Nice. So does he tell you to keep the noise down?
No.
Is he a good neighbor?
No, he's great. He's great. I share eggs with him. He shares rare things with me that get shipped to his house.
Rare things.
Yeah, rare things like pineapples out of season.
Nice.
Delicious things.
Nice.
But first at Danielle. So is that when you forged your idea of a partnership or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We were both sous chefs there. And
what was your training before, Riet?
Prior to that, I met Danielle. I was cooking in France. I was working at Michel Bras in Aviron, a little town called Laguiole. And prior to that, I was, Park Bistro and Les Halles. I was working in those sort of like bistros.
Where were you born?
I was born in New York, but I grew up in Montreal.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. So you have a French background, kind of.
Yeah,
background.
I think so. Yeah. I'm sort of a pseudo-French.
And what about you, Lee? You're so American.
My first job out of school was with Daniel when he was a chef at Le Cirque.
And school was?
CIA, Culinary Institute of America.
Okay.
And after that, I worked with Jean-Georges at Vong and Charlie Palmer for a number of years. And then I always had a conversation with keeping in touch with Daniel and everything. You know, when he was ever going to open his own place, I wanted to be a part of that. And that came a few years later, and he came by and was like, okay, Lee, let's go.
Great. And that's where you met Riet.
Where I met Riet.
Yeah. So it's a long partnership you two guys have.
Yes.
Any arguments?
I don't know. Quiet pouting, maybe.
It's funny. We both kind of express our we express our frustrations in similar ways.
Like what?
Just to ourselves, we might kind of be like, "All right, Lee, I'll let this slide this time," or "Riet, I'll walk away from this from now." But no, we've never had any screaming matches.
Oh, great.
I think he keeps score, though.
We think.
You do?
I think he does. Yeah. I see him write down stuff.
There's a give and take that you have to have with a relationship.
Yeah. And life like changes have occurred. I mean, you're married, Riet.
Yeah.
Are you married, Lee? I don't even know.
Yeah. Sure. My kids were on your show once.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Bedtime stuff.
We had a sleepover.
Sleepover one.
Yeah. Sleepover episode.
Yeah, so
we're all in pajamas.
Oh my goodness. How old are they now, your kids?
Oh wow. One's in college, a junior in college, the other's a junior in high school.
Any chefs in the family?
Oh no. I definitely said don't be a chef.
And Riet?
Yeah. No, my wife and I have been married 23 years. So no kids, lots of cats. My wife does trap, neuter, and release. So we foster.
Uh-huh.
Foster a fair amount animals. Of fuzzies.
How many do you have?
Right now we have 6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We have a good big space, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I know your sister.
That's right.
Yeah, she's the editor-in-chief of Harper's Bazaar.
Yeah, that's we're incredibly proud of her.
She's an incredible editor.
Yeah,
really lovely.
She's doing a fine job
there. She is so proud of you. Oh, my gosh. She talks about you a lot.
She needs to get out in the world a little bit more.
but she loves your food as I do. Yeah. Well, back to the food. Frenchette is the food's very delicious and kind of unique. Those are your own ideas of and what does Frenchette mean to you? Sort of Frenchy or?
I mean, we start it's rooted in traditional French cuisine, but we like to throw little twists and things, you know. Oh, not twists, or just have a little bit more of a attitude about.
What's your favorite dish on the menu at Frenchette Riad?
I think it would probably have to be the brouillade, which is the soft scrambled eggs with sauteed escargot and
you like
snail
escargot,
butter.
Don't
yeah,
you?
Certainly.
Yeah. I had them last night. They were delicious. Yeah,
that's fun.
And
right?
We love the way you serve them in the little individual cups.
Yeah.
They're so pretty with a little toast on top.
Yeah.
Really tasty.
Yeah.
Where do you get the snails from?
Well, the snails, they're Burgundy snails. It's a preserved snail that we cook in a courbillon, and they're braised out with a little bit of pancetta and tons of aromats, and then stuffed in those little pots.
And tarragon is everywhere on the menu at Le Roc.
Yeah.
You love tarragon.
Yeah.
You pick it up in the leeks.
Oh, in the leeks and also in the crab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had the best appetizer last night that I've had in a long time. It is a Dungeness crab shell, perfectly cleaned, filled with the most delicious crab salad.
Yeah.
So that has a lot of tarragon in it. Yeah. What else does it have in it? I'm trying to get a recipe out of these guys. I want to make that at home because I get Dungeness crab shipped to me from Seattle.
Oh, nice.
Chopped parsley and lemon and sieved egg and capers.
Oh, sieved egg. Yeah. That's a secret little thing.
So you kind of line all four of those up nice and even like that. The idea is to kind of mix it all together, add a little of the mayonnaise that comes with it.
Yeah, it's a mayonnaise ruse.
Yeah, you're beautiful.
It's called a dressed crab on the menu. It's funny, last night we had a customer come in and said, I would like my crab undressed, please.
Oh, no mayo. That means no mayo,
no,
right?
No, nothing. We just
dressed crab.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a crab.
Oh, well, it's a delicious appetizer. Yeah. Wow, I want that for lunch today. Unfortunately, Le Roc is not open for lunch
yet. Not yet. That's coming soon, though.
It's good.
Yeah, October will be.
In October?
We'll be doing lunch.
And what's your favorite dish on the menu at Frenchette?
At Frenchette?
Lee? Yeah.
Hard to say. I guess one of my favorite little pairings that we do is the oysters in the chipolatas. So we serve oysters on the half shell and a little of the sausages on the side. So it's a very kind of unique combination from Brittany that you don't see very often, but it's the richness of the sausage and that kind of clean, briny oyster is...
Do you make the sausage? Or?
Yep.
Oh, you do?
All the charcuterie is done in-house. Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. Oh, see, that's another wonderful feature of these guys' restaurants. It's everything is really... homemade and touched and loved, and it tastes so good, every single thing. My favorite thing last night at Le Roc, we had a lot of appetizers. So I'm going to read what four of us ordered off the menu yesterday. We had, we had the calamari and shishito peppers. That was delicious. So the calamari were wrapped with shishito peppers and put on little tiny skewers.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. We had the sardine escabeche. That was fantastic. So those are fresh sardines that
fresh
you pickle.
Sardines.
You pickle them yourself.
Exactly.
And then we had the pâté maison, which was also excellent.
Mm-hmm.
What is that made out of?
That was a pork and rabbit.
Yeah, pork and rabbit with large squares of...
We rotate through those different
pâtés. Little cubes of foie gras in there.
Yeah.
And that was served with a little apricot mostarda.
That was very good.
And a little gelée.
You're right, I ate all the gelée because I didn't let anybody have any of that.
That was a jello shot, basically.
That was really good. Then we also had agnolotti with corn and chanterelle. Chanterelle are just coming into season, I guess.
Yeah.
And that was delicious.
Yeah.
And then it also had some red pepper, I think,
soft red pepper in it.
Piquillo,
yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Yeah. Then we also had the, let me see, I thought we had rillette. Was it? Did you have rillette?
We had that, so we have that bread, we have sort of that section underneath the baguette. So we offer the baguette, and then we have like several sort of
the
small
radishes
little,
with butter.
little spread accoutrements,
I ate
if you
all
will.
The radishes yeah. and all the yeah. butter.
So that whole section there that you're looking at yeah. is all things that go with oh, go yeah. with the bread.
Yeah.
And small, tiny servings. The rillette de canard. Mm-hmm. And radish. And my favorite of all was the chicken liver mousse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Yeah.
With that wonderful topping of... Yeah.
It's a little port gelée on the top.
Yes, yeah. port gelée. Yeah. That's port jelly, for those of you who don't know what yeah. gelée means.
Yeah.
It was really good. All served very nicely. Not too big a serving. Just
no.
enough, because
no.
it's very rich.
Yeah.
But you know how to serve chicken livers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We were brought up on chicken livers, and this is the best chicken livers I've ever had.
Yeah. We might be able to share that recipe with you.
And then we went on to leeks vinaigrette
mm-hmm.
that are the leeks were so interesting because you wrapped them in what are they wrapped in? Leeks.
Yeah.
It's yeah. In the leaves of the leeks.
Yeah. It's the dark green leaves.
Poached and are they poached in there and then roasted?
No, they're roasted whole first.
Yeah.
Really hot, so they get kind of caramelized yeah. in their skin a little bit. Then we strip away the outer layers and put that inner very tender leek now in some new green leeks that are still raw.
Right.
And then we grill that.
It's grilled, yeah. So they were quite burned on mm-hmm. the outside and delicious
kind of
on the inside.
Yeah.
Inside
that's
yeah.
a different way because poached yeah. leeks oftentimes get a little wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These were not wet. These were yeah. all leek. And
it's fun. It's sort of a bit of a surprise there. You're taking a humble ingredient and then treating it with a bit of reverence. Mm-hmm. Not unlike a baked potato that you might smash tableside.
Right.
And, top
and that's our most popular dish at the Bedford.
and, yeah, that's great. We should do a mashup with potato yeah, and leek.
But
know.
it's a good potato.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
we're using Yukon Gold, large Yukon Gold potatoes.
Yeah.
And they're so tender inside.
Yeah. yeah
buttery.
Yeah. yeah.
buttery on their own.
Yeah.
So you're following that I opened a restaurant.
Yeah,
I am now the proud competitor of all my friends who I have visited year after year after
yeah.
year, and I can't believe that I actually have a restaurant now.
We'll have it's to get great. A show and have you on.
Yes. I mean, wouldn't that be great? Nobody's asked me to talk about my restaurant on a podcast yet, but it's fun. It's I was a nervous wreck about opening
yeah.
the restaurant, so you guys must have been.
It's nerve-wracking.
You must have been nervous. How long did it take to actually build The Rock, this beautiful space?
Just under a year and a half?
I mean, a year and a half of actual construction, yeah. and there's probably a year of development prior to that. I mean, you know, COVID sort of put a real – it just slowed the entire process down and yeah. actually kept our meetings sort of on a remote – remotely versus being sort of on premise and basically prototyping things. So we spent a lot of time fixing uh-huh. you know, things that maybe didn't quite line up because you're not in the space as often.
Tishman Speyer bought Rockefeller Center a few years ago for what looks like, in retrospect, a terribly small price, $1.6 billion for all of Rockefeller Center. Can you imagine?
That's not a bad business move.
No, that was a smart move.
Yeah.
And then somebody had your space before.
It was Brasserie Rule 9, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was very beautiful, but very dark.
Yes. It was dark and woody. It was sort of...
completely different.
Did you have to redo the floors, or were those floors there?
No.
You got the terrazzo guys to come in?
Yeah.
A lot of people are surprised when we say the floors are new. They're like, why? Mm-hmm.
Because
like
Rockefeller Center is known for its terrazzo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, all the spaces here have the most beautiful terrazzo
That's
floors.
One of the reasons for using mm-hmm. it is to try and tie into some of the beauty that's just naturally exists everywhere in this
The complex. Color palette, the design choices were all taken from roaming, you know, the center mm-hmm. and picking up on those details.
And the half shades of the windows are so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come and see this space because it really is unique to New York, and so clean. And I have to warn you, the only thing mm-hmm. that bothers tender ears is the noise because it's hardscape, the whole place, terrazzo floors, plaster walls, and high ceilings.
Naked tables as well.
Naked tables, which you protect nicely with coasters. Everything is a coaster or a paper under it, but nothing to soften the excited sound of mm-hmm. the patrons.
Well, we're working on that.
And there'll
be some acoustic help coming.
Yeah,
you think so?
No, there has to be.
You think there has to be? I mean, it's noisy for the help, too.
We had to do that at Frenchette as well.
But people really are noisy. Aren't they?
It builds.
And as they drink, it sounds like everybody's screaming, but they're not, you know, they're talking at a high
level. It's revelry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's revelry, exactly. That's a nice way to put it.
You get excited when you're in a big room.
Yeah.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So what are the big surprises about opening this place with a big commitment of time and effort? What were your big surprises moving uptown? This is your first uptown restaurant, midtown uptown.
Yeah.
In the most famous place in New York, you know, Rockefeller Center. What were your surprises?
That we would like it up here.
And do you?
Yeah, we do.
Do you go ice skating?
Yeah, well, I haven't been ice skating yet.
Don't break a leg and don't break an arm. You can break
It's a beautiful roller rink now,
okay,
which is super fun.
You can break a leg, but you can't break an arm.
You know, I don't know, and not to be too like schmaltzy or serious about it. It's funny coming out of pandemic and reintroducing herself to the city in a way and re-embracing the city. We couldn't really think of a better place to do it than Rockefeller Center. It is an epicenter.
And you haven't lived to the through the tree lighting yet.
Yeah, we're a little anxious about that. It will be pretty big.
Intense. Yeah, intense. You better be open for lunch.
Yeah, we should be.
Sure. Are you ever going to open for breakfast, too, for the ice skaters?
That's the plan, yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because that would be a lot of
fun. Those
are
actually really fun meal periods for us to explore.
I want to bring my grandchildren for breakfast and ice skating.
Yeah, that's a nice time. The plaza is so airy and beautiful, and the light in the room during the day is pretty great.
So now they're able to seat about 100 people, so make your reservations early, everybody listening. But you'll be open outside, too. Is that going to be a heated space outside for wintertime or only summertime?
Mostly seasonal, but
we talked about, enclosing it. But again, I think we like the idea of seasonality being sort of expressed. And in winter, maybe indoors is where you should be.
Right.
And in spring and in summer, really enjoy the spring and the summer outdoors a little bit more. So I think we're good with, maybe just some space heaters and some umbrellas.
For the tree lighting and that kind of really festive time of year, we're not going to rule out the possibility of some places to keep warm and have a snack out on the terrace while you're looking at the tree.
Yeah. It would be so fun. So how did you come to name the restaurant Le Roc? I mean, it's natural, but but how many names did you have before you came up with Le Roc?
The naming part of a restaurant is the worst by far. It's because when that's going to be the name for the life of the restaurant. So you just bang your head over it, and it's funny. some of our worst actually meetings have been about the names. And
what were other possibilities?
We've exercised them from memory.
Yeah.
But it's funny. We were both kind of
this project. We didn't really have that many names for, right? We didn't really have a naming session. We had a couple like, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that?
Frenchette was, that was a long one. That was a pretty bad one, but.
Yeah, it was more.
So do you have investors in the restaurant?
Tishman Speyer. Yeah.
So they're pretty fabulous because they are really redoing this entire location.
A lot of great talent.
Thoughtfully invigorating the and with a lot of fun. I mean, look at us. We're in an old newsstand here. They're an amazing repurposing of a space.
Right.
Yeah.
And so where do you source your ingredients? I saw coming down Fifth Avenue from 72nd Street, there was a fish truck. There were vegetable trucks coming down Fifth Avenue. Is that you bought by from wherever that you've learned, I guess, through the other restaurants, your sources?
We have a pretty extensive purveyor list. The chefs shop at the farmer's market as well. So there's 3 days, 4 days a week. They're picking up fresh and seasonal from some of our partners at the farmers market. And then you have some larger scale purveyors for potatoes, for example, or at least the frying potatoes.
What do you use for the frying potatoes?
Yeah, they're Idaho. They're GPOD. Yeah, GPOD. Mm-hmm.
There's
a shortage right now of them as well.
Really?
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
They were very good last night. Kevin Sharkey loves your fried potatoes. Boy, we discussed the potatoes for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're very, very good because they're soft in the middle and crispy on the outside, and they're not hard and they're not too soft, and they stayed crispy the whole meal. They were really
pretty much.
Good.
We just got right past that season of potatoes where they go – where they're out of the potatoes from last year, and your young potatoes are still very kind of sugary.
Yeah.
And so we're just getting into that sweet spot of potatoes.
Yeah, they were very, very good. Mm-hmm. But remember you came on my show and showed me how to make the onion rings from Balthazar?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And guess what? I made them the other day.
Uh-oh.
And I think I improved on your recipe.
Do tell.
At the last second... looking at the flour, and you use all-purpose flour.
Yeah. You went rice flour?
No. Mm. I went to Wondra.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Try it.
Yeah.
They are the best onion rings anybody in the whole room had. Try the Wondra.
Yeah.
I had never used it before for
100% Wondra or a little combo? Pardon? 100% Wondra?
Yeah, 100% Wondra.
Yeah.
And it held on nicely. They're glorious color. Mm. And the rest of the recipe is pretty much the same with beer and the batter and stuff. But it was really good, the Wonder.
Nice.
Try
nice.
It. Do you use
nice.
Wonder in anything?
Nice. No, we have it on the shelf. And we dust, and occasionally, depending on what we're cooking, we'll dust. You could do
like
a little dusting.
Or
a scallop or soft-shell crab or skate wing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it was just incredibly delicious. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
A little happenstance. So, so who designed the restaurant? I'm sure you had a lot of input, but did you have an architect or a designer?
We had a firm called Worksted that we that did it.
Are they from Brooklyn?
Yes, I guess technically they're from Brooklyn.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, they did. No, they did a great job. It was definitely a collaboration. We worked closely with them for over a year on every detail, and
all the lighting fixtures are great. Mm-hmm. The tables
that's one of the reasons we
great.
Chose them is because they design their own lighting as well.
Oh, they do.
So
that's,
all those large chandeliers,
they're beautiful.
They design those.
And
those are beautiful.
And the light is ambient, but not intrusive, and you can still read the menu. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really beautiful. And who is your maitre d'?
That'd be Kevin King.
He was great. He came by several times to check on us. And we had the best waiter.
Yeah, now, Craig.
Craig. Yes, did he come
Craig,
in and complain about the vodka?
Craig, good,
did he
Craig,
tell you about my vodka?
Not at all.
No, Kevin Sharkey mentioned it. He said you didn't like our vodka selection. Is that correct?
Well, I drink very little, except I drink wine, and you have lovely wines.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have a European or a Polish or a Russian vodka.
This was Grey Goose.
Oh, Grey, yeah, but I can't drink Grey Goose. I like potato vodka.
You like potato, so you like gluten-free vodkas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just agrees with me.
Grey, yeah, that's like, I could see that.
So you have to please get that so I can come back and have a
martini. What do you like there? You like Belvedere?
I like Belvedere. I found a new one called Zubrovka.
Mm-hmm.
That's a potato Polish vodka. It's very, very nice.
Okay.
And it's not terribly expensive, but it's good.
Yeah. Our well is Helix, I think, and... which is a French vodka, but you're right in saying that there's not.
Yeah, you don't have the originators of vodka there.
Yeah,
these other guys.
Yeah, that's true. Well, if vodka tasted like gin, I think we'd probably have more. or at least tequila.
Is gin the biggest drink at the place?
In a martini, I like it. I like gin.
You do.
Yeah.
So what about stories from opening the restaurant? What about the clientele? What do they say?
Been pretty receptive this go round. I mean, look, we've been really, really fortunate. I think coming from where we came and opening Frenchette, we had a tremendous amount of goodwill and support from the press, from patrons, from peers, and so on and so forth. And here it's just sort of extended. You know, we're really fortunate with the staff that we have. You know, Joel Michel is our general manager. We worked with him many, many years ago at Balthazar, and I think he was a manager over at Pastis.
So he's another emigre from Balthazar?
Yeah. You know, he left and he did a little stint in fine dining, and then he worked with Jean-Georges. And, post-COVID, there were a lot of sort of free agents around. A lot of people sort of skeptical about getting back in the business, but we were sort of known entities to them and previous friends, so they sort of took the leap with us.
Well, your timing was really pretty good to be able to be planning and building a restaurant during the most difficult time in New York restaurant history, I guess.
Yeah, just world history.
History. But even in New York, I mean, what a difficult time the last 2 years have been.
Yeah.
And then to be able to open with great fanfare and have people there eating and enjoying is in a most iconic location.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you happy with the turnout? I mean, are you full every night?
Our biggest adjustment is just, the times people would come in for want tables, their prime time tables. Downtown at Frenchette, it's always been 7:38, and here it's more 6:30.
Because it's right out of work, right?
And you're getting that big bar rush at 5:15.
Did you read in the New York Times today how restaurant diners are now opting for earlier and earlier?
Yeah.
So they can get home and watch their streaming shows.
Right, yeah.
So much to watch now.
Isn't it funny?
No,
I think it's also health-wise, the earlier you eat, the better it is for you for dinners.
Yeah, we feel that way.
And then you also get you know, you're just coming out of the office. There's no, you don't have to stay late at the office. The staying late at the office is not a priority these days.
No. Yeah, not the same. It's
coming
much more
to the office is not such a priority these days, which is really, I hate this. I hate this whole not coming to work thing. So have you had any difficulty filling the spots in your restaurant? In terms of waiters, wait staff, and kitchen?
Kitchen staff is, it's been difficult for sure. I mean, we're basically operating five dinners, and that's our entire staff. You know, should actually single them out and congratulate them as well. You know, our chef, our executive chef is Walker Stern, who had a restaurant in Brooklyn, you know, Michelin starred. And Jeffrey Teller, who's our one of our chefs, our executive chef, you know, company wide, and our pastry chefs as well, Mariah and Michelle. We're fortunate that to sort of have a core group that is as strong as they are, and have plowed through the whole, you know, pandemic situation with us.
Well,
and,
you're lucky, but I think it's because of you two guys who are such loyal employers and so nice to work for and nice to be friends with. I mean, it's really you're the glue that holds it together.
You know, it's a pretty good, it's a feel good story right now. You know, I mean, it's a restaurant opening. They're still difficult. You just went through it yourself, and you know, and it's not like, okay, we're open and it's over. It's open. It's beginning.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million?
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So how much time do you spend at La Rock right now? All the time?
Yeah.
Because Frenchette's all, Frenchette's operating well. I'm very impressed with the wine menu at Frenchette.
Yeah.
Where'd you get all that wine? Did you buy an existing wine cellar?
No, I wish we did. No. No. We didn't have the money for that.
Oh, so you just started to collect?
Yeah, we started to collect. Look, our wine director is Jorge Riera. You know, I know Jorge over 30 years. We worked together at Leal and a big proponent of the natural wine movement. And we knew we wanted to sort of make that distinction with Frenchette. And he built out that wine list. And
We had a Chenin Blanc last night. Yeah. It was a Chenin Blanc. It was very nice.
Yeah. It was probably from a former Balthazar employee, Laurent Sayard. I bet you had one of his wines.
You. Yes. Right.
Yeah, the exactly. Lucky You. That's yeah. So we worked together as, you know,
so
he was a manager there.
All organic wines there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so are you continuing that tradition here
in
the Rock?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it's all organic. So that's your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, to move off of that would be disingenuous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's extensive, really.
Yeah.
And so what do you find? I mean, when you're dealing with such a eclectic clientele, but pretty much all American. Well, I guess do you find it mostly American right now?
Yeah,
or New York American.
New York American. do they ask for anything that you don't want to make?
No, everyone's been very receptive to the menu, and there's so many kind of different choices to go there that it seems like there's something for everybody.
Also, the boys also ordered the big steak last night.
The Cote de Boeuf,
yeah. We're surprised
you
ordered
it.
Yeah. You know why? Because we, last week on my little new Roku show, we cooked a Cote de Boeuf.
Yeah.
And I on a grill,
yeah.
And I had never really cooked a great that kind of. It wasn't actually a cote de boeuf, but it was a tomahawk.
Uh-huh.
But we reverse seared it, you know, cooking it really slow for a long time, and then we caramelized the exterior. And it was very good, but we were just comparing steaks, and your steak was utterly delicious. And my favorite thing that I think after the crab was the duck.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Wow, where's that duck from?
Yeah.
Is that a Long Island duck?
That's a Long Island duck, yeah.
What a beautiful, beautiful piece of duck.
Yeah.
And it was boneless, and then the flavorful, you have sugar on there.
It's honey.
Honey?
Yeah, it's almost like a little gastrique.
Well, what's the crystal things?
That's honey, and then it's coated in spices.
Oh, it is so good.
Yeah.
And a lot of, is that coriander seeds?
Yeah, coriander, fennel seeds.
Cumin.
It was delicious. So a little bit Moroccan, kind of a little
I would say
Moroccan.
Almost Roman. It's Roman, kind of inspired by that sort of Apicius duck, yeah.
Yeah.
Walker brought that to the menu.
And I love the Swiss chard.
Oh, the gratin
of
Marrow.
Yes, the gratin of Swiss chard. And I grow a lot of Swiss chard, and that was just delicious.
Yeah, so you have sort of the influence of what a cream spinach would be, or how it would play in a steakhouse, but it's that gratin is a very French technique and approach and stuff. And that meat is all sort of local beef.
Very good beef.
Yeah, aged on premise as well.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. Aged too. Boy, where do you do all that? Because I went back and I saw the kitchen.
There's
a Warren downstairs.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. So again, the Rockefeller Center planned well for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you have enough space.
Yeah.
But the kitchen's beautiful, and it's sort of square.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
square.
Not like a typical, I guess, straight line rectangle.
And
we're using these Athenor suites, which are a way to work where you're kind of working across from people.
Yeah.
So it's communication-wise, it's great. It's amazing equipment. And we have two sections. We have like an entree section and then a separate app and garmage section where so there's two stoves and we can go simultaneously because of the
It's a very I love the kitchen. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
And it looked like there was lots of camaraderie and concentric squares.
They're just all tired.
That's what? Yeah.
They're just all tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course they're tired.
No, they're yeah.
Again, what are the hours of the restaurant?
Five. The bar opens at five to ten. We start seating dinner at 5:30. Hope to expand on that. I mean, the idea is really to go continuous service from sort of 11 in the morning till 11, you know, at night with sort of a continuous menu. We'll see how that evolves. Uh-huh. And then petit déjeuner before.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be there for petit déjeuner when I have to go and do the Today Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do regular appearances on that Today Show right down the street.
Nice.
And it's always fun. Have you been on the Today Show yet?
No, we haven't.
Oh,
no.
They have to have you. Gosh. Yeah. You guys should. They should come over. They should come over.
I've got a face for radio. Yeah, I don't know about TV anymore.
These days,
You'll be great on TV. Oh, look, people are walking by. Doubles. We have windows right on this promenade across from a very big liquor store. Oh, Moreland
Company. Yeah, Moreland Company is there.
Yeah, that's a very nice wine store. So if you see, you could have gotten the vodka for me right there. I told him to go out and get some.
I think the only vodka we have is in Lee's filing cabinet in the office, right next to his tequila.
So outside of the restaurant, what do you do, Lee? What do you do with your kids? What do you do do you have a day off?
We've been having Sundays off lately. Yeah. When we have more of a regular schedule, I guess, you know, my hobby is to surf and to be in the ocean as much as possible.
We're out in Montauk?
Yes, that's usually where we go because it's closest to here. Family stuff, yeah. I mean, the kids are into thrifting these days, so we do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And, just hanging out and doing the family stuff.
That's great. And what about you, Rad? What do you do with your wife?
My getaway activity is steelheading. So it's fly fishing for steelhead or Atlantic salmon.
Where?
Out west. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Alaska? Do you go to Alaska?
I was in Alaska in April, Prince of Wales Islands.
Guess what I got for my birthday? I got a fly fishing lesson.
Wow. Oh, fantastic.
I used to tie all my brother's flies for him.
Oh, wow.
And I'm good at that.
Yeah.
But then my casting, I went with Ken Oretzky, who's a big fly fisherman from his restaurant across the street, Petroon.
Yeah.
And he thought I was a terrible caster, so I got a fly fishing lesson.
Yeah.
Nice. So I'm looking forward to that.
I actually think you'd be a great caster.
Well, I love doing it. I love catching fish.
Yeah, no, like steelhead is a passion. And so try and do that as a getaway. And then
Ever do for tarpon? That's hard. I did that down in Costa Rica for tarpon.
That's right.
I caught one.
My fishing buddies, one of them is turning 40 next year, and there's plans of
Costa Rica?
Not Costa Rica.
Nicaragua?
They've been talking about going to Cuba and doing a liveaboard there and doing some tarpon fishing. So,
a little Hemingway action.
A little Hemingway action. It's not steelhead, but I think it'd be
fun. Mine was 125 pounds, and it took 5 hours to get it in.
Wow.
And my stomach was black and blue because I was holding the rod.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have one of those harnesses.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Incredible.
And my stomach was completely black and blue trying to hold the rod in my stomach.
They say it's pretty intense when you actually see that tarpon eye for the first time. It's you're looking at this prehistoric eye checking you out.
You're in a little rowboat, a little skiff. Yeah. So you're not even in anything. It's rocking back and forth with this big fish.
Do you have it on a wall somewhere?
No. It's all catch and release now. You can't keep your, trophies.
Yeah, it's better
but,
that way.
They're very beautiful. Well, listen, guys, I think that you have to get back to your kitchen, but
this is great. We can stay.
No, please.
I think that okay. I think that you have done amazing things in a very short period of time and developed a clientele that really loves you and loves your food so much and will follow you to the ends of the earth eat that crab and that fabulous duck and those escargot. I will, and I think it's just incredible what you've done, and I wish you the very, very best of luck. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. And you should all look up Laroque, New York City, and it's called laroquenyc.com. The menus are listed, and make your reservation early because, boy, you will miss out if you come to New York on a visit and don't visit La Rock. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Martha. Yeah, it was great having you.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets, and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.